Brethren, this morning, God is speaking to us, and the word we shall be looking at is the difference between man and God. But before we leave, we go in. I want us to read a portion of Psalm. It's Psalm 34, then we will pray. So let's quickly look at Psalm 34, and then we'll read from verse 3 to 10. Verse 3 to 10. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and deliver me from all my fears. 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him, and delivered them. 8. Oh, praise the Lord and see that the Lord is good. Blessed the man that trusted in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. Verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. Let's bow down our heads this morning. Our Father, we come before you this morning, knowing fully well that you are a great provider. Whenever we look unto you, you answer our prayers. Whenever we talk to you, even when we don't know how to do it, whether we are shouting, whether we are even being proud in the process, whether we are even being unintelligent in the process, you still answer us. Father, we want to thank you for this. And we say, let all your name be blessed this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Magnify yourself in our heart this morning. Let your word come with power. Let your word come with anointing. We pray for that confidence that makes us to be able to approach the throne of grace at all time with great confidence that our prayers will be answered in the mighty name of Jesus. This morning, Lord, Father, every of your children, look of your child, looking unto us, watching us either online or even those that are in this sanctuary, your protection will never depart from us. Your favor will not bid us farewell. Your mercy will encompass us round about. When we call upon you, you will answer us. We will appreciate the gift that you have given unto us. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Praise the Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In ancient societies, gift is very important, because there is no means of exchanging. It wasn't trade by barter that time. The principles was known as, or is known as, the principles of counter-prestation. In anthropology and sociology, they call it principles of reciprocity. And the principle is very simple. It is believed that when a gift is given to me, let's say you have brought a gift to me now, I believe that there is something injurious in that gift. There's a spirit in that gift that is very, very injurious to me and my family if I do not give a counter gift that is more in quality and in quantity than what you have given. Hello, do you get me now? You have come to me, let's say it was an Asian society, and you brought an iPhone 11 Pro for me. Asian society. There is a spirit in that iPhone that is very, very dangerous to my health and to the health of my family if I do not give a counter gift that is better in quality and in quantity than this one. So what will I be doing? I'll be waiting for iPhone 12 or 14 to come out. Then I will package it and make it as a counter gift back to you. Although they have some principles guiding it. Exchange of gifts take place between people or whose occupation are central to the survival of society. So exchange of gifts does not take place between farmers. No. Exchange of gifts doesn't take place between fishermen. All fishermen have fish. All farmers have produce. All hunters have game. The animals that they are hunting. So what happened is that I'm an hunter. So I will get the part of the animal that I've hunted down, roasted. I will cut a beautiful part of it. I will look for a farmer. I give it to the farmer. What will the farmer give? He will go into his store. Corn. Maize. Beans. In large quantity. He will give to me. The result, exchange of goods and services is established. This is no money. And they believe that if you don't do it, well, I may give you a gift. If you don't make a counter prestation, no problem. But they believe in one God, and that God will punish you for not doing it. And so it's part and parcel of what goes on in society. So in most cases when gifts are given, we notice that there are some established reasons. There are relationships behind the giving. Okay? We give gifts to our spouses, to our children, to our parents, to our siblings, usually because we are all related. And giving is part of what relations do. We give. During this era of COVID-19, we know what has gotten out of our pockets to our people over there in Nigeria as a survivor, you know, and so on and so forth. We also give to people. We give gifts to people with whom we are not related by blood. Amen? But by other means, for example, if they are friends, we give them gifts. If they are colleagues and others. At other times when we give, it is by reason of empathy. Empathy. You just sympathize with that individual and you send some gifts to that individual. Only few people, very few people, give gifts at random to people they do not know and they are not related to. Or for which there is no compelling reason. Praise the Lord. So in the case of God, the Bible says that he loved the world and therefore gave his only begotten son. God so much loved us that he gave his only begotten son. So right from here, we see a remarkable difference between God's giving, you know, and man's giving. First of all, he gave to the world. This does not mean that he gave to those who are already Christians. This does not mean that he gave only to those who are his people, to the world, everybody. In fact, to those who are not, who are Christians, you know, we already have the Son. But he gave the world, to the entire world, to those who do not know him. That is why I always say, provision for our salvation has been made even before we were born. Before we were born at all, the provision for our salvation has been there. Even when our parents did not know him. You know, I was born into idolatry. We wake up in the morning, at times they will say, okay, it's time to worship Ogun. And we worship him. And I remember as my father would be making the kola nut, our mothers would be saying, poo, 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 poo. What they are signifying is that they are shooting their guns. You know, Ogun and gun is, you know, similar. They are shooting their guns. So, once my father put the obi down like this, the kola nut, and then two is up and two is facing up and two is facing down. That means obinyo. That means their adura, their prayer is. And my mothers, my stepmother, my mothers, and they will be joyful. They will jump up. Even as a dad, worshiping idols, God gave us his son. Praise the Lord. You see the difference between God and man? Romans 5, chapter 8. The Bible says that God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we are still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. This means that there was no prerequisite of a relationship of any kind to qualify for this gift. No prerequisites. I told you in traditional society, there are prerequisites in the principles of counter-prestation. Prerequisite is that gifts must be exchanged between people whose occupation is central to the survival of society. So there's a relationship between them. You are a farmer, I'm a hunter. And both of us are in the same society. That's why they exchange gifts. Okay? Praise the Lord. But in this case, God gave to the entire world while we are still sinners. God has no reservation as to the region, the country, or the nation, or people that qualified or will qualify for this gift. He just gave without strings. Next, that's number two now. We see that God did not just give an ordinary gift. That's different between God and man. God did not just do what? Give an ordinary gift. The Bible says that he gave his only begotten son. That means God gave nothing but nothing that he had no spare of. Okay? The principle of responsibility we are talking about in earlier society, when I'm giving a gift to a farmer, for example, as an hunter, I'm not going to give the entire game that I have hunted down. No. It's part of it that I record. The farmer that is giving a counter prestation to me, counter gift, is not going to give every produce he has in his house. No. But in this case, God gave all. He gave something that he had no spare of. Normally, when people give, they consider the cost of the item they want to give and compare this to the affordability levels. Can I afford this thing that I want to give? It is not common that people will drive their own vehicles to other people's homes as gifts and walk back to their own house. Hello? Have you seen that one before? The only car I have is a Peugeot. No. We don't know what is Peugeot. Toyota Highlander. And I just took the key and I drove it straight to my brother. And then I now walk home. Amen? Have you seen such gifts before? It's very uncommon among men. Or the only TV sets that I have, I just disconnect it and I give it to somebody. But God gave without a fallback plan. He gave without reservation. God gave without the cost of giving. So when the world gives, they sometimes think that the gifts are temporary or conditional. There has been cases where former spouses take themselves to court. Boyfriend and girlfriend have taken themselves to court over gifts that are given. One carried it as a gift. I'm not supposed to pay back. And the other one said, give me back my gift. And they have to go head to court. And court has to settle it. That was not the case of God. So you will see that the court always rules that what was given to someone else as a gift, notwithstanding the relationship between the giver and the receptor, cannot be retrieved. So boyfriend who have given engagement gift, engagement ring as a gift, 2,000, 3,000 to their wife, to their supposed fiancée. And that one says, no more, I'm not doing. The first thing demanded is, give me my thousands of dollar engagement ring. And then it's now considered, court has now to be adjudicated. Is it a gift? Or is it something that can be taken back? And so on and so forth. So, but in case of God, this was not the kind of gift that God gives. You know, the kind of gift that God gave to the world through Jesus Christ is the one that cannot be taken back. It does not matter if we rebel against God in future. He cannot ungive that gift. Is there a word like that? Ungive. English language barriers, yeah. Ungive. There's no word like that. Okay. He cannot take it back. You understand what I mean? Free. However, free as God's gift, important as it is irrevocable as it is. There's still a major problem if you do not accept the gift. And that's what that passage tells us. So for human beings, if one person gives to another and the potential receiver turns it down, the worst that can happen is that the giver is disappointed. He or she will take the gift back home or give it to somebody else, and the case will be closed. For God, no, it is not so fast. There is a grave danger if anyone refuses or rejects the gift of God's Son. And that one is clearly stated in John 3:18. John 3:18. He who believes in him is not what? He's not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. Rejecting the gifts make you condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe each and every one of us here today, we did not reject that gift. And that is why we are here. We accepted it. And that gift will not work against us in the mighty name of Jesus. So is this gift mandatory? It is not. It is not a mandatory gift. God gives everyone free will to make your choice. So the consequences of those choices may now be born out of the choice maker. And that's the consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And it's not funny. The condemnation referred to in the above passage means spending eternity in hell. That will not be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus. To be clear, no one convinced of the consequences of this will still go ahead and make no choice. My appeal to myself this morning, my appeal to you this morning, is that in the name of Jesus Christ, you will not delay a minute more to accept Christ as a personal Lord and Savior in the mighty name of Jesus. If you are yet to accept him, you will not delay in the mighty name of Jesus. The gift is free. The price has already been paid. Do not begin to weigh what will happen if you reject the gift. There is no greater disaster here on earth and in heaven than rejecting this God's gift, the only Son that Christ, the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, that God gave to you and I. This morning I'm appealing to you. Let us surrender our life to Christ without further delays. There's a difference between a life lived in the world and a life lived under Jesus Christ. When we were younger, we woke up in the morning on our mats. Our prayer would say, today we are going to worship the head. I'm bored. We were happy because it means that day we're going to have, for example, the day we worship Ogun, we are going to have chicken. Free chicken. Chicken only comes during Christmas. So even during the time, maybe my father wanted to cross the road, you know, and by chance, the car didn't hit him. He's coming back to worship Ogun. He will now buy the chicken as he's coming. We will be happy. But does that provide the permanent solution to our life? I don't know the condition that leads to worshiping the head. I don't know. We just wake up and say, it's time to worship. Then we usually use big okweko. Yeah. That is when I know I'm going to have the iru or the big ari in my meal. And it's to us, it's to children, it's something, because it's not something we have daily. I mean, I don't know how many people know Agbada Ojukwu here. There's a fish crumbs they call Agbada Ojukwu. You know the head of catfish? Nothing there. That's what they, you know, they, what do you know, how do I say, they crush and put in guri alasipo. That's our meal. So when suddenly they now bring big fish tail, okweko, and the head cut with a big meat, this is for the women. They sit by it and, you know, it's something. But all those ones never provided permanent solution to our problems. Until individuals in that family started giving their life to Christ. Praise the Lord. I want us to rise on our feet this morning. Who is that member of your family that is yet to accept Christ as his personal Lord and Savior? Pray for that individual this morning. Who is that friend of yours that whenever you bring Christ to him or her, he looks at you as if you are a fool? Pray for that friend this morning. There are still so many parents in Africa, just like my parents. They are neither here nor there. On Sunday, we go to church. During the week, we worship Ogun. At times, we wake up, we worship the head. Occasionally, my father will provide transport fares. And where do we go? We journey to Okemesi. We partake in ancestral worship. They say it's time to worship all the former kings that have passed. And because we are from the royal family, we have to be part of it. All those ones never resolve our problems. Until we accepted Christ as personal Lord and Savior, each individual, I thank God that my family, my father became born again before he died. I give glory to God that my mother became born again before she died. Pray this morning. It is possible all of us here are born again, we have given our life. There are still some members of our family. As I'm speaking to you, there are still some of my half-brothers and sisters that whenever I meet them and we talk about Christ, they look at you and say, Pastor, that's your own thing. I don't believe in that. There are some of them carrying the title pastor, but I know and I can easily see that they are not born again. These are the people that we are saying you will pray for this morning. Because God is different from man. And God will answer our prayers. Father Lord, I thank you for your word. I bless you. I worship you. For opening our minds, for giving us opportunity. Glory and honor to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And so our Father Lord, we just bless you for this morning. We just thank you for your word, for making it possible for us to accept the gift that you have given unto us, to make us your children, to be counted among the inheritance of the kingdom. Father, accept our thanks in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we commit all our friends, our relations, our acquaintances that are here to give their life unto you this morning. We commit them into your hand. And we pray, Lord, that we touch them in that area of their life that will not be able to resist you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because of answer. For those of us that have already given our life, we pray, O Lord. Father, we will not fall out of the kingdom in the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Amen. It is well with you. Before we share the grace, we will take our offering. But before we do that, let's listen to this following announcement, please. On Tuesday is the first Tuesday of the month. And so it's going to be prayer and what? And fasting. Prayer and fasting. We will meet on Zoom by 7 p.m. We will send the link to every one of us on Tuesday. It's going to be Zoom prayer and fasting. So on 7 p.m. we meet to pray, being the first Tuesday of the month. And then in September, you know, the last 4 months of the year, we need to be more careful, we need to be more prayerful. And the Lord will bless us in the mighty name of Jesus. Say a better amen. Please don't forget to join the prayer, RCGNA prayer meeting tomorrow. Time is 9:45 of our own time. 9:45 till 11 p.m. The Lord will bless you as you join in the mighty name of Jesus.